Hey, folks, welcome to another incredible episode of the Details in the Deal. My name is Matt Major from Growth Mode Content, and it is an absolute honor to be asked to come back and guest co-host this show next to probably our breakout star of the Growth Mode Content world, Christine O'Connell Moore. She is a realtor and so much more. See what I did there? Look at that.
I like it.
How are you, Christine?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great. Good. I'm doing great. Thank you so much. So, Christine, a little later in the show, you and I are going to have a conversation for a few minutes, but a little later in the show, you've got, it sounds like a pretty interesting guest. Can you tell me a little bit? Her name's Kara Rafferty. Is that how you say it?
That's how you say it. And I think everyone pronounces her name differently. So, and she's used to that. Kara's great. She is the president of the Apartment Professional Trade Society of New York. We call it APS of New York because the rest of it's just too much of a mouthful. It's a professional society that works with property owners, primarily apartments in New York State. And we are, and she's going to talk about the association, what it does for the members, and really what it does for the public, because without good housing, we're really in trouble. And yeah. Kara is very experienced. She actually works for a vendor in the housing industry, and she'll talk more about that.
Wow. Well, I'm excited to hear that, but you know, before we get that, we got some news. We got some happenings in the business world, in the Central New York business development world, I guess. But let's start out with, you know, what's happening with you and your company. You've got some units you're moving, listing. What's going on?
Thank you. It's been a really busy spring, and that's very exciting. I closed on the brokerage of 79 units of apartments just a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
On the James Street area, which is the northeast side of Syracuse, for those that don't know. Really excited about the buyers. They're going to do some major renovations to the property and turn it into workforce housing, which hopefully will be used for some of the new things happening in town.
Is that sort of what they call temporary housing, so you don't necessarily have to sign a one-year lease? Is that kind of the idea of that when you say workforce housing?
I think it'll be flexible.
I see.
So they'll have some people who will live there, and there are people who've lived there for years, and they're not looking to move out the
gotcha.
People that have been there for a long time, but they're looking to improve the properties. And then
That's good news.
People coming into work with the new Micron construction
sure.
will live there, and I imagine that they'll be flexible on the rents and the rental leases.
Yeah.
So that if you only need it for 6 months, that's okay.
And I just know as we were talking about Micron, that's one of the things that a lot of folks I feel like didn't think about, and as we talk about the need of, you know, not necessarily a house for the family that's going to work at Micron, but that all the crews that are coming from out of town and out of state to build the thing, they're not going to live here for their whole lives. Maybe some. I think we can lure some.
I hope so.
But you know, that kind of flexible housing is very much in demand. So that's awesome to see that you're putting that together.
Yeah. There was a lot of interest in the property, which was great to see. And we were able to sell it at full asking price.
Yeah.
So yes. So
even
that was terrific. They're going to do a good job on the property. What I'm hoping is they owned other properties in Syracuse before this.
Oh, great.
And then, but they were smaller. And
I
so
see.
Now they've really stepped up for this one. And then I'm hoping that they'll step up for other ones also, because that's the way it tends to go.
Sounds like they're already a member of the community, which is the best buyer you could find, right?
They've hired a good management company, good people that they're working with.
That's great.
And I think that they really will respect the tenants that are there now, too, which is important.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And then you go all the way out to Verona as well? You got some stuff going on out there?
I do. This is a great piece of land, and I don't do a lot of land sales, to be
okay.
honest. But I was so happy to see this property. It sits between, when you get off the Verona exit, I believe it's exit 33 of the thruway.
Yeah.
You dead ended into 365.
Yep.
And then if you looked straight ahead, there's a Comfort Inn, and to the right of that is the land.
It's
almost 8 acres of land, and you can see it from the thruway as well as 365.
That's incredible.
I think there's going to be something really exciting built there. We're looking at truck stops, hotels, restaurants.
Yeah.
We're talking to the nation about it. There's a ton of buildings.
Seems like
going
something
the
they
nation.
Would be interested in.
I hope so. It has 40,000 vehicles that cross over the thruway.
Yeah.
It's right underneath the bridge.
I mean, that is as prime as I could imagine in that area.
I think it is. The gentleman who owns it has owned it for a number of years. He's ready to sell. It's that time of his life. And we're really encouraged by some of the interest we've already had in the property.
Christine, do you find a lot of people do that? They kind of make a piece of property their nest egg, if you will, and just their plan is always when it's time to retire or whatever, that's what I'm going to do to do so?
Yes. In many cases, you know, he's been paying taxes for a lot of years on the
sure.
property. He's had to do some maintenance on it. It's vacant land right now,
yeah.
so it hasn't been a lot. But, you know, he's at a point where he's thinking about his children and,
yeah.
and you know, will his children want to manage this? And that's a common occurrence.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that it's the right time in his life will make him more of an incented yeah. seller.
And almost 8 acres. I mean, it's a nice little chunk of land. You can do almost anything there, which is awesome.
I drove by it today, and it made me happier seeing it for the second time than it did the first time that
yeah.
I was around. And he's making an investment. He's doing a new survey. He's staking it out. He's making it more attractive.
Great.
And we have talked to the town, and they're interested in extending the exit of 365 straight across, which will be between basically two hotels.
Wow.
And that will give rear access to the property.
Huge.
Be very big. It would make a big difference. And I think it would make development easier also.
Also for that hotel, because I've been there, and that's honestly getting to it.
Yes.
A little bit of a, it looks like it's right there, but you kind of got to go out of your way to get to it. So
to
that would
turn
be
left, go down to the corner, go around the back of the property.
Yeah.
It would make a big difference.
It's a little weird, but.
So I think they would, if the right buyer came along who wanted to develop the property the way the town would like it, I can see them extending that easily.
That's awesome, Christine. Yes. And then you even go like the other way.
Yes.
All the way up to Oswego.
Right.
What's happening there?
So I always say that I'm a Route 81 and Thruway person.
Okay.
Anything along those areas. So this was such a nice referral that I received from somebody in Syracuse.
Oh, wow.
And he wanted me to go up and take a look at it. It's a third generation restaurant in Oswego called Vona's.
Wow.
It's an Italian restaurant. Everybody who's up there knows where it is. They've been going there for a very long time. And the family's ready. You know, most businesses don't exist after three generations.
Sure.
And this is a good example of it. The current owners have other business interests, and they would really love to find somebody to either take over the restaurant and continue the operations, make some modifications to it if they'd like to.
Gotcha.
And it's also a great development deal.
What I'm guessing, obviously, the business comes with it, but the property as well, it's got a building. And
yes. And this is typical of the businesses that I sell to,
yeah.
is that they often have a real estate component. So there's 1.7 acres of land there.
Wow.
On what I would say is probably the second busiest thoroughfare in Oswego.
Wow.
Maybe third after 104, but on the ones across the bridges.
Is there a meal that Vona's has been known for in the area? I'm not from Oswego, so I'm okay. just interested in what the popular fare is at the place.
Italian.
Okay.
Yes. I was there about 11 o'clock the other morning, and they don't serve lunch. But the chefs were in the kitchen, and they were starting to cook, and my stomach growled.
Oh.
And I said, I need to come back for dinner. So they're really known for their Italian food. And they have a lovely bar and great outside seating in the seasonal right now. Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you could sit outside in Oswego in the winter. But.
Well, you could. And I think that us upstate New Yorkers are very hardy.
You might turn into a
yes.
snowman. But
yes. You need some of the red wine to go along with the Italian food.
Yeah.
But it's minutes from SUNY Oswego.
Oh, wow.
And also from Lake Ontario. So that's really nice if you want to look at options for it. And it really, it's less than a half an hour to the new Micron plant.
Wow.
And I really believe that Southern Oswego County is going to benefit greatly.
Absolutely.
From Micron.
Absolutely. I think you're totally correct.
Yes.
And, you know, since we're talking about Micron, why don't we dip right into some other things that are happening in the region outside of just your brokerage. We got some big deals that they've been announcing, right?
Yes, very big deals. Bigger than anything I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting. Again, going back east, the Chobani, the yogurt company, as you know, because on your podcast, Good News York,
listens.
You were talking about it. You were talking about
absolutely.
The whole, everyone's going crazy in the room. It's terrific.
Yeah.
They've talked about 1.4 million square feet of space.
Wow.
And a $1.2 billion investment.
Oof.
And here we have $2 billion investments, multi-billion dollars in some cases.
Yeah.
In our area, never been seen before,
right.
in my opinion, right? And Chobani is such a good company for the community, too. They make
yes.
a lot of donations. I was just talking to someone who said, you know, we see Chobani in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
So they're an international company, and
yep.
they're going to develop their products and make their products right here in
yeah.
Central New York.
And what a great spot, right? I mean, that Rome base has been just primed for something, you know, because of its previous use.
Yes.
There's so many opportunities, and it's great to see somebody take advantage of that, especially a great company like this.
I completely agree. I remember when the Griffiths base closed, the Air Force base, and it employed thousands of people.
Yeah.
And it was devastating for the area.
Sure.
And I really give the area economic development people and the politicians a lot of credit for developing that park. They've really made what they call shovel-ready sites.
Yeah.
So the utilities are there, the incentives are there, the zoning is there, all of those things that are really important. And they helped to move that along quickly. And they built there's hotels, there's bank headquarters there. There's a lot of things that happen on what, right. Us old timers, I guess, still call the base.
Yeah.
But it's really the business park now.
Right.
And I think it's very exciting to see. And they're going to employ at least 1,000 people, which is
wild.
Really exciting for that area too.
Phenomenal news for Rome.
Yes. And Rome needed it.
Yes.
Yeah. So there'll be new housing built and new businesses to be developed in the area too.
Awesome news.
Yes.
What else we got happening around? We got some things happening in Syracuse. And, Christine, for those who don't know, a lot of people talk about Micron, but can you just give a quick overview for folks that hear the word but don't actually didn't catch the deal, if
right.
you will?
Yes. I was just talking
about the details
in
the deal, Christine.
That's right, the details in this deal. So they're building a $100 billion combination of factories over four buildings over the next 20 years. That's
wow.
the plan. It's very exciting. They expect to bring 9,000 people to the factory. That's after construction.
Sure.
And these will be jobs that are good jobs. You don't necessarily have to have a graduate degree for
yep.
them or even a bachelor's degree. There's a lot of work being done in the area to train people for these jobs.
Yeah.
And that's exciting. Because these are in some cases entry level jobs, but they're very well paid, and then people will be able to move their way up. And they're expecting another 40,000 jobs with supporting companies for the factory. Because what they find is when this company builds factories like this, other companies move into town to support their services, whether it's parts or technology or any other type of businesses.
Yeah.
It'll be huge. And the county is continuing to buy land to build so that when these companies come in to build additional buildings, it'll be properly zoned for them
sure.
and ready to go.
Yeah.
And as we saw at Griffiths Park, that was really important to have things ready.
Yeah.
And it'll make things go faster.
I've seen a lot of people talk about, everybody talks about the impact of those supporting businesses, but there's so many. We got all the jobs from Micron itself, but there's companies, it's my understanding, that are essentially going to be on the Micron campus, and they make their part, and then they open a door and roll it right into the Micron factory for it to go into assembly there. And,
right.
And those are all more people, more jobs, more businesses that really aren't even in that initial count, which is awesome.
Yes, very awesome. I think the Japanese call it just in time. Mm-hmm. And since you don't want to have inventory. Inventory
yeah.
doesn't make any money. So they'll be ready for that. They'll be ready to rock and roll.
That's awesome.
as soon as Micron's ready to build the products that they're building.
And we're going to have some hotels for people to stay in finally, maybe?
Yes, and we've talked before
about all these people in.
the fact that we've lost some hotels to apartment
yeah.
conversions, and that's been a big concern because if you don't have enough hotel rooms, you can't get some of the big events that you want
sure.
in town. So I was really excited to see in just the last few weeks, Syracuse University's announced that they are going to build something called Graduate by Hilton, which Hilton has these properties near campuses all over the country. It'll be on the corner of University Ave and University Street. And that's going to, and the university is converting the old Sheridan into student housing. So this is going to be really helpful to those visiting campus and visiting businesses near campus. And then the Marriott's announced that they're going to build a hotel out by Micron. And it's going to be something that's on trend right now, which is to have different hotel brands within the hotel. Now, these will be two Marriott brands, but people are really, really loyal to the brands that they like to travel with. So this will give people an option. One will be a Residence Inn, I believe, which will be longer-term leasing,
uh-huh.
or longer-term housing typically. And I think that this is a trend that will continue. People are very point-sensitive
yeah.
about where they stay. So that's exciting to see.
They're going to mix those. Those are kind of like almost a suite or almost to some degree like a townhouse, right? Yeah. Versus a traditional hotel room?
Yes. They have a living room.
And we're kind of going to have both on the same property, it sounds like you're telling us?
They'll have both on the same property.
That's kind of neat.
It is, because you walk in and you basically go to the same desk. So it really helps with staffing, too. So you go to the same desk and you go left for one brand and go right for the other. But they'll both be Marriott brands.
And you know, as we talk about places to stay, Turning Stone, as many people know, have that massive hotel expansion.
Yes.
I believe they just celebrated with putting the final piece of steel on the structure or something like that recently. But that's going to be a huge opportunity. And man, if you could only pick up a great piece of real estate right across the street, that would be prime.
In my marketing package for the land across 365 is a whole list of everything that Turning Stone is doing there, from their evening entertainment to the hotel rooms.
Yeah.
They're expanding their gambling floors. And I was just there. I was just across from there today. They're expanding their conference center greatly. They're going up with it.
That's great.
And there are cranes in the air and it's, you know, signs diverting you to different places, which is always a good sign that something's growing, right?
They're even moving quick.
They're moving very quickly, which is exciting, and they're known for that.
Anything else going on around town?
About 2 days ago, they announced that the former Lafayette Country Club, which is on the – it borders Syracuse and the town of Onondaga, which is an interesting concept, is going to have new housing built into it.
Wow.
One of the things I found most interesting about this is that they'll build traditional housing. They're going to build some townhouses, but they're also going to build housing that is – open for renting, real whole homes open for rent.
Wow.
Because they feel that with Micron coming into town, and it's amazing how often we circle back to Micron, with Micron coming to town, people are going to come here who don't know Syracuse.
Right.
And maybe not know where they're going to want to live.
Yeah.
And so they're going to offer 1 or 2 year leases so that you can get to know the area.
That's great.
Get your family settled, that sort of thing, and then find really where you want to live permanently. Maybe you will live permanently there,
right.
But it gives you an option, which I have not seen formalized housing that way before.
Yeah, no, I think that's brilliant.
I think it's brilliant, too, and it's really exciting to see that land has sat vacant for a long time since Lafayette Country Club closed. They'll have a 9-hole golf course there that'll be open to the public, which will be nice, and the views are stunning from that area.
I can only imagine what that'll look like when it's all set.
Very accessible to downtown, very accessible to the hospitals and places that people are going to want to work. And you can be on the ski slopes in 15 minutes from there and to the various lakes in our area within minutes also.
Sure.
Which is kind of fun.
Beautiful spot. So, Christine, let's talk a little bit about some things in your industry, specifically industry associations. And you see these in every business. They have some kind of group where like-minded business folks get together. But tell us a little bit about, what industry associations are all about in your business and what they do and things of that nature.
Thank you. I belong to several associations, because I think it's important that you give back to the industry that supports you. So the apartment association that we spoke about earlier, APS of New York, is near and dear to my heart. I serve on their board of directors, and I think that they really do a great job of supporting property owners, and also the tenants that live at the properties.
Yeah,
because it's a two-way street.
Sure.
And if neither party is happy or only one party is happy, it's just not going to work long term.
Right.
I also belong to the ICSC, which is the International Council of Shopping Centers, which should probably be renamed now because retail is not just in shopping centers anymore. And so, but I go to a meeting in New York with tens of thousands of people every December.
Really?
And they have every retailer you could think of there and all of the service companies that supply them. And they do education around the country, which I try to participate in. And then there's hotel associations that you can belong to. Any part of commercial real estate.
Uh-huh.
There's an association.
What,
related
if you
to
don't
that.
Mind me asking, like the shopping center association, what do you talk about? What are they teaching you in the training?
They teach you about customer service.
Okay.
About building codes. Whatever the relevant topics are of the day. Throughout the day at the conferences, they have little mini breakout sessions.
Gotcha.
So that you can learn about, maybe it's a vendor. you know.
Sure.
But there's no lack of people looking to expand businesses, especially as entrepreneurs become you know, more popular in business.
Absolutely.
You know, they'll go there, and you can get great exposure for a little bit of money going in the door.
I think that's awesome. Any others that you've seen, or, you know, if somebody's listening to this and they're going, how do I tap into that in association? What would be your advice to them?
Well, I would advise really to Google, Google Association for Apartments. There's an NAA, which is the National Apartment Association, which our New York apartment organization is part of. They have fantastic information, especially statistics about expenses. I use it when I'm looking at pro formas and income and expense statements for properties. How do the repair and maintenance bills compare to either other properties in New York State or nationally?
I see.
As one example. And then when someone says, I've got a bunch of properties and I've mixed all the expenses together, how do we break this out? And I said, well, let's just use the average for the nation or the average for the state. So they provide a lot of information. And lobbying is very important, too.
Gotcha.
Because you want to have laws that are advantageous to your industry. And
I see.
And every industry needs something different.
And that's one of the ways that your industry gets it through these organizations. Are they typically the ones that kind of fund some of the lobbying efforts, or how does that work?
Yes, most definitely. So the dues for most of these organizations do fund lobbying efforts. And we have, I know the Apartment Association has a lobbyist in Albany, and the NAA, the National Association, has lobbyists in D.C.
And what's neat about that is when you do that, they're able to sort of work on your behalf, right? So you as an organization can say, here's what our needs are, and here's the message we really need you to deliver to folks, right? Is that an accurate description?
That's exactly what happens. And then what also happens is that they will get information out to you. So if a law is coming down that is not going to help an industry, you can rally the troops and say, here's what we need to do. I've been to lobbying day in Albany. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating process. Thousands of people can be there, and you go and meet with the individual legislators, and you basically state your case.
Sure.
And they ask you questions, and hopefully they're learning as well as you are.
Right.
And, as we all know, the squeaky wheel, right? So we really work hard to professionally and, courteously get in front of the politicians as much as possible.
And that's, a lot of people, I feel like they hear lobbyist and that's sort of a dirty word. But the reality is that's sort of how the sausage is made. And
yes.
Anybody, the good guys also have lobbyists, because that's, like you said, that's how you get these issues in front of the folks that need to make decisions or pass laws on them and things of that nature.
Most definitely. Most industries will have lobbyists. And you're right, it's not a dirty word. And these are really good people who are professionals. Yeah. They know the industry, and they work on your behalf.
Sure.
And you're right, it's how things are done.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's reality.
So, Christine, on this list of all these really neat things happening here, we got another one. Explain this to me. They're an investor. They've got properties in Syracuse, but all over the country, it sounds like?
Yes. So thank you. Last weekend, I picked up the Wall Street Journal on Saturday, and there was this article that said, Big Landlord Expands in the Midwest. And I read it, and I said, I know this property, Morgan Properties. They own properties on Onondaga Hill and in Camillus and Baldwinsville, some really good-sized properties. And I thought, that's cool, they're expanding. And then I read the article, and the article said they were expanding into markets that had a need for housing and had new industries going into the marketplaces. And I thought to myself, well, that sounds like Syracuse.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention it because I think that it's a great opportunity for people looking to buy apartment complexes and to expand their portfolios to look at Syracuse, because I think I've always said that Syracuse and upstate New York was much more Midwest than Northeast at times.
Sure.
Economically and just how people are. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that we're friendly and approachable and affordable.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was interesting that it was featured in the Wall Street Journal, and I'm hoping that it will make people think not only of the Midwest and things that are happening, but also about where else are things like that happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, that's incredible. And also, as we were recording our show, there's some sort of new update that we didn't even have planned for, right? Can you tell us what's happening here?
I'm excited to do so. So I just heard from the owner of 42 units of apartments in Ithaca that it was okay for me to start marketing them.
Oh, wow.
So that's, again, as everyone knows, apartments are kind of my thing. And so I wanted to share that with the people who are listening to the podcast. These are very nice apartments, 1 and 2 bedroom apartments, and right outside of Ithaca. And they're actually in the town of Lansing, which is frankly much more landlord friendly than the city of Ithaca.
I see.
Yes. So that's a nice thing. You're minutes to downtown Ithaca, minutes to Cornell University and to Ithaca College. And I'm very happy to share more information with people on them.
And you said 42 units.
42 units. They're in 4 buildings, all in the same block.
And something like that, Christine, I'm guessing is the type of thing that folks get. It's not a vacant place with 42 units you got to try to sell, right? You get to kind of come right into this rolling with tenants and all this, right?
Absolutely. They average more than 95% occupied,
which is
above average of the marketplace. And also the owners have put a lot of money into them in the last year.
That's great.
So that's nice. They've kept them up, and I think that anybody would be proud to own them.
Is it your recommendation? I mean, people said this in the past, but, you know, markets change and things like that. Are you a big fan of this continuing investment in these properties so that, you know, it's not just the market factors raise them in value, but you're continually adding, even though you might already be getting that steady rental income? What's your advice on that for landlords?
Oh, I absolutely agree that you need to do it. You're going to have vacancies if you don't. And our marketplace is pretty full. So if you have a lot of vacancies in your apartments, you need to really look at your apartments and what you're doing with them. And I advise my clients, you can either take the money out now, which means you don't put any investment back in your properties, or you can take it out later when you sell your properties. But you can't do both.
Gotcha.
So if you really want to maintain the value of your properties, and properties in the area that are well maintained have been increasing in value, you need to keep your properties.
I love that. I think that's brilliant advice. You can't do both.
It would be very, very rare.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
you want a property that shows well when you want to sell it, and most everybody sells eventually.
Yeah.
Yes.
And would you have I'm just curious, kind of the guidelines. So say you do this, you take a place that you've renovated, it's beautiful, you got a great starting point. How long down the road before you're thinking about upgrades or maybe even just repainting, things like that for, you know, like I said, you got a tenant, he's not moving, it's not one of those change things, but when should a property owner think about it's time to put some money in the building?
Generally before it's needed, before it's obviously needed.
Gotcha.
There are certain things like you know, paint in the hallways. You could paint your apartment hallways today and someone comes in with a bicycle and hits the wall tonight.
Right.
So there's certain things you just have to continually maintain. And I think that first images are really important. Hallways say something about properties.
Yeah.
And so you want to keep those up. Obviously, roofs, if you don't keep up your roofs, then you're going to have other problems that are going to end up costing more money down the road, you know, because of those problems. People want to live in safe, comfortable places.
Yeah.
And that's what people want to buy too.
Sure. Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Christine, the absolute expert. She's not trying to put you in an apartment. She's trying to put you in an apartment complex.
That's right.
That's why she is my favorite person. Anything else that we should talk about? Did we cover everything happening in the world of,
you know, it's
everything?
Such upstate New York is really booming right now.
Yeah.
There was an announcement today by the county executive of new housing downtown Syracuse on Harrison Street.
Wow.
And it's going to be some affordable housing. That's one of the components in the city of Syracuse now is that if you're building apartments over a certain number of units, you have to have a component of affordable housing. So I think we're going to see more and more of that. And this is another building in downtown Syracuse that's being converted from offices to housing.
Wow, that's incredible. And that's right across from the street from the new Tech Garden, which is not called the Tech Garden anymore.
Yeah.
But that whole
whole
region, you know, the hotel some not too long ago was redone. That's going to be a really modern kind of block, I guess you would. That's neat.
Yes, from those who may remember, you know, out of the pit of a parking garage that fell down probably 20 years ago now, is going to be the best technology in Syracuse. And that whole area, the southern part of downtown Syracuse, we have the new 500 building, which is also known as the Chimes building, is being converted to apartments.
Oh, wow.
There's apartments across the way in help me out with the name of the building where they have all the kiosks and Salt City Market. Thank you. Maybe you guys could edit that. Thank you. Salt City Market has apartments above it. And there's apartments which was the annex to the Hotel Syracuse has turned into apartments. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the south end of downtown. And going further south into the city, the old Sears building is being converted into workforce education, and there are buildings being built all around it, high-tech, low-tech. Yeah. There's everything from Central Bus to JMA, wireless there. Great, great growth for that part of town, and the employment base will be good too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild. A lot of people took note when they saw the JMA Dome, you know, when they renamed the Dome for JMA. But many people haven't noticed that JMA has just built an incredible facility down there. Lots of jobs, modern, everything. It looks great.
It's terrific. I just was driving around there, and there is new technology. There's old technology, like the bus terminal, and there are more properties being put on the market right now in that area, and that's a good sign.
Yeah.
That's a very good sign, and they will sell.
That's it. Christine, this is really fascinating, and I really appreciate you sharing this wisdom with folks, because one of the things that's I find really great about you is not only are you incredibly successful, but you're more than happy to share how you got there and help other people get there themselves. So that's incredibly admirable.
Thank you. People have been very good to me over the years. So it's I'm happy to help when I can.
I love that. I love that attitude. That's just that's so kind.
Oh, wow. I've been fortunate. I've worked hard to be fortunate.
Yeah. And there's a lot to be said about that.
Thank you.
But at this point, I'm going to dip out of here and let you talk to this incredible guest that you've got lined up, who is way more knowledgeable about this industry than I ever could be. So we will be back, or I should say Christine will be back. I'm going to head out and watch from behind the camera, but very excited for your interview with Kara in the next segment.
Thank you, Matt. And we're back, and I'm really happy to introduce my guest today, Kara Rafferty. Kara is the president of the Apartments Professional Trade Society of New York, which we fondly call APS of New York, because otherwise we'd just never get it out. Please tell us about yourself, your background, and I know you're also a vendor to the industry, so maybe you could share a little bit about that.
I've been lucky enough to work alongside you for many years now, not close to my entire time in the industry, but I'd say at least eight now. And so currently I sit as the president of the board for Apartments of New York, Apartment Professional Trade Society of New York. And I've been in this role for probably about close to 7 years now. And what we do, we'll get into in a few minutes, but at the essence, we provide resources, education, and advocacy to the apartment industry at large. We do focus on our home state of upstate New York. We have 55,000 units. And my big girl job, my full-time job, I work for a company called Intrinsic Digital, and I sell geofencing digital marketing services to the owners that need to fill and maintain their buildings with residents. And fun new product that we've introduced into the marketplace is streaming TV ads. So I finally get to tell my son what I do. And when I tell him what I do, he says, "So mommy, you're the person that I want to skip all the commercials between my cartoons." So we're bringing streaming TV ads to apartment owners and making it affordable and attainable. So love supporting the industry in many different ways. And we'll talk a little bit more about what we do at Apartments of New York as we continue.
Thank you, and welcome. I'm sure that when people hear this, they're going to say, "What is geofencing?" So can you just tell us a little more about that before we go into talking about the association?
So geofencing is drawing a invisible fence around a building. So it could be your competitors, it could be employer offices, or it could just be points of interest like restaurants and movie theaters and parks. And what we are able to do is using mobile ID data, we gather it when people walk through those areas, so into your competition's homes. And then we start sharing banner ads about your property on apps, games, and websites. And of course, these streaming TV ads. So they sit down in front of their TV and they start watching their favorite channels, and up pops a 15-second unskippable branded commercial just about what you're offering. So I don't want to say it's cutting edge technology, because other industries have been using it for a while, but we're bringing it in an affordable way to owners across the United States. So that's what geofencing is.
That's fascinating. And certainly I think we all see pop-ups in our social media and obviously TV and streaming. So that really brings it more, to be much more understandable for people. And you have other industry experience also, if you want to share a little bit about that.
Yes, prior to my 10-ish plus years in multifamily, I have a strong background in hospitality with hotels and restaurants. I spent 12 years at Panera Bread. I helped open the first store in the great state of New York and helped them expand their catering brand from the ground up conception to a national brand. So branding and growing and all of that is really my wheelhouse, which it's kind of how we met. I was doing a ILS, an internet listing service. I was working for a company that was known as Rent.com now, and I came out to Syracuse. I live in Albany, right? So I came out to Syracuse, and I wanted to grow my business and grow connections, and we started bringing people together in roundtable settings, right? We started bringing people together to grow and share and learn from another. And it really warms my heart when I get to do that. And I think that's what our industry needs more of.
Well, I do remember our earlier meetings. I think you actually were pregnant for your son the first time that I met you up on Onondaga Hill. And we had great roundtables with people in the industry. And I would love to do more of those in our marketplace, too.
I couldn't agree more. I loved that. So right now, you know, I would say the landscape is kind of wild out there in real estate. So what do you want to dig into, Christine? We could go so many places.
Yes. Well, let's talk about the association, because I think that's really the main topic that I introduced earlier. Tell me about Apps of New York and what the services that are provided, maybe a little bit about the National Apartment Association also.
Perfect. So the National Apartment Association is in all 50 states of the United States, and I believe they do now have some international presence. And they are our charter, right? So they're at the top of the pyramid, so to say. And then we have all these affiliates that reside in each of the states. And there are two affiliates in New York State. One is exclusive to the New York City and Long Island territories. And then we are everything else from the top of New York City up and all the way over to Buffalo. So what do we do for these landlords? Because you do have to join this association to get the benefits. Everyone joins for different reasons, but I'll share the top reasons that people join. And then maybe I'll share a couple things that I think people would love to know about and maybe just get more active in those arenas. So people tend to become part of the association at surface level for really three things. It's either first because they understand the laws are ever changing, and not only do they need to be educated on what's changing and what's happening and the application of those laws at their properties, but they also want a seat at the table to stop them in their tracks or form them so they're not as aggressive and they're more palatable and adaptable. I think one thing that's really great over the last few years as my presidency I've seen owners really want to have properties that are safe for people, because we all are in the same game, right? Providing safe, quality homes for people. And so we've kind of come together and sometimes had to say, okay, there are bad actors on each side. There is no perfect resident. There's no perfect owner. We all have our moments. So how can we come together and create something so that we have a place to call a home for them in 5 years because we still own that building? So the number one reason that people truly become a member of Apartments of New York is either to be a part of the advocacy or learn about what laws are changing and how they can use, you know, adapt to them. Part two, that's still very strong, is NAA has a click and lease digital leasing management software. And the click and lease software is fantastic for a few reasons. The one reason is they are reviewing laws on the go, and within 30 days of any law change, there's an addendum, there's a switch. You have your watchdogs right on there for you. And it is a digital lease. Many are these days, but when they rolled it out, not everything was. And then they're storing it. And so I know that from a small little hiatus I took in copier and software sales, I do know it's not cheap to store all of those leases. So they have a digital lease management system from signature to storage the advocacy piece. And then the last thing that is really very important is truly cost savings. So there are some programs that some of our smaller owners take part in, and using those programs, those programs, they're able to even just get back the money for their membership. So it's about being something bigger and being a part of the change, but also taking care of yourself and running your property.
That's a win-win situation, both for the individual property owners as well as the association itself.
I know
that one of the things that the association does that's really important is lobbying efforts, both locally, statewide and national with the NAA. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing I want to talk about is what we're doing with the lobbying, because like you said, it really is a value that a lot of people are not aware of. And I wanted to speak to just a few things that we're working on right now. So the biggest thing right now is we just completed a survey on the REST Act. And if you're not familiar with what the REST Act contains, you know, I highly recommend that. I don't tell you. I recommend you look it up on your own. But a lot of these laws were put into place during COVID and they served its purpose. And now it's time for them to go away, disappear, change, evolve. And so through our survey and a lot of the conversations we have, I'm just going to read you a couple things that what the REST Act would do if it does kind of, stay, go through. Rent stabilization could be invoked without any vacancy study. So right now the vacancy study is being done in these cities to invoke these laws. Although they are imperfect at times, they at least give us a moment to pause, have a conversation, share our information, be a part of the change. If the REST Act is enabled, that could happen without any studies. Also the newer apartments, this is important. If you have brand new lease ups, construction, a lot of the time these owners are carved out and removed from those laws. In this case, they would not be. So newer apartments could be regulated. The exemptions would only be for buildings under 15 years. So sometimes you would have some, but sometimes the newer apartments could be regulated. There was so much building 20 years ago. It's a big deal. And then any size building. A lot of the time, if you lived there, you had 4 units, 3 units or less, you know, that didn't apply to you. So when we did this survey, Christine, I'm going to throw out a few numbers. So I'm looking to my side because I think these are interesting. Out of our members that participated and answered, I know you are not shocked to hear this, but over 73% of owners said that they would sell. Okay. So we need to have a seat at the table. We need to lobby. We need to have conversations and talk about, you know, who will buy these properties? Will they be present in the communities, in the fabric of everything we're trying to build? And then the other thing I would just add from a percentage standpoint is the way that people treat their properties. If you have less money, you're going to put less money back into your buildings. So over 88% of the people that participated in our survey, 88% would significantly reduce maintenance and upgrades. And so the housing conditions would not, would deteriorate over time. So I just think what you're talking about, the lobbying, and you don't actually have to speak to the legislator, right? Christine, like you've been a part of the lobbying. Lobbying means a few different things. It means first, just being present for the conversation and sharing your insights. And then those insights can be compiled by our lobbyists or by our delegates to go speak to somebody, because those real life stories of how it's impacting you are what makes the change, not balance sheets.
And I completely agree with you on that. And it's really important that people in the industry know about these things, because they may run into their legislators also. And the more you know, the more you can take advantage of opportunities like that at a cocktail party or a wedding or in the grocery store and just, you know, get their ear for a minute and talk about it. If people want more information on this subject, what do you recommend?
Starting by looking at the website, aptsofny.org. And of course, you can follow people like myself and Christine on LinkedIn. We'd like to repost a lot of stuff. And I'm not sure how much more time we have. So I really just want to say that there's ways to get involved when you are a supplier or vendor. You can underwrite events. while having conversations with your clients and supporting the organization. And Christine, you're one of them. So shout out to Christine. Christine has been a wonderful supporter. Multifamily Masters is coming up in July. It's a fantastic golf tournament. One lucky person won $10,000 last year. I cannot make that up. And then Apartments Palooza, that is our signature conference that is geared toward our property managers and leasing staff to get trained up for the current year and the next year.
And both of those events are not only educational, especially the conference, but they're fun. And that's nice. I mean, lobbying is a little dry, right? So it's fun to be able to bring people into people in the industry into events like that. And my company is very happy to be sponsors. Talk a little bit about some of the other events we have, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you said that, because I mentioned earlier that there were a few reasons that people gravitate to being a part of this organization. But then there's a few other things that are real hard realities that we're facing that the association can provide support in. People. People. Where do you find them? How do you keep them, right? We all have staffing issues across every industry. So we are working on and putting out and reintroducing our job board. So we want to make sure that we can share with our members what kind of job opportunities are out there in the world. So coming soon. In addition, we are working very closely with local colleges to see what we can do to put together more certifications for maintenance technicians. We know that this is a opportunity. So what do we do to celebrate the ones you have? We have an upcoming event called Maintenance Champions, where there are games, as we call games, grit, and all the glory. And we celebrate maintenance technicians while having team building opportunities for your office teammates with them. So celebrating your staff. We also have awards. We have Property Manager of the Year, Leasing Professional of the Year, and a few others that we celebrate at Apartments Palooza. So people, people, people. Let's train your people. Let's help you retain your people. And then another thing that people love to do is they do want that education, but they don't always want it at their own city, in their own backyard. So one thing we do is offer discounted tickets to the National Apartment Association event. That conference just has me, Christine, and 11,000 of your closest friends. There's only 12,000 people that go. There's over 1,000 booths. It's a great opportunity to see what else is out there. And the speakers are top notch. We just have every type of track there. There's the small independent rental owner track. There is the supplier track. There's leasing, maintenance, property manager, asset manager. There's something for everyone there. This year it's in Vegas. It does rotate around from the East Coast, middle of the country, West Coast and back. I personally like San Diego. That's my favorite one to go to. But I believe next year, every June, they have the event every June. And next year, they are going to be in New Orleans. So it doesn't hurt when you get to travel a little and maybe see a little sights. And to Christine's point, it's 3 days of education, the biggest trade show you'd ever go to. And then there is also some evening activities. The suppliers love to spoil. This year, I think Kenny Chesney is singing at the Sphere for some lucky Apartments.com clients.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. I was at the conference in Philadelphia last year, and I couldn't believe how big it was. I mean, the entire Philadelphia Conference Center was just filled with people. And I saw people from upstate New York, which was great. I met new people, and I really learned a lot. It's a terrific experience. If you as a housing professional can go to either the regional conference in New York or go to the national, it's definitely worthwhile. Yes.
Absolutely. And one other quick note to bridge, NAA and education and Apartments of New York. There's a few things that if your staff can't get to the events, because in this day and age, not everyone has the bandwidth to get out to events. And we are only able to host so many in-person events every year. So virtually, how can you get involved virtually? So many ways. So first off, Apartments of New York does have virtual classes, as well as partners with Multifamily Insiders, a national brand, to give their members a $10 discount per registration. So that group has two to three sessions every month, variety of topics. So you can take a look at our website at that. You can also get involved virtually with your membership by logging on to NAA. You get your own number there. You get a Units Magazine, an nice articles about everything under the sun on Apartment World, but then also you have access to the podcasts. There's a technology committee at the national level. They have a whole series right now, Women in Technology. So you can also look up fair housing laws. Christine, you got to go on this website. They've updated so much cool stuff. You can go by state and I think by county, because I mean, we got to go by county now, don't we, for these laws. You can go by state and by county, especially if you're doing due diligence, which I think was a hot topic last week. You could go and look at what's going on in that county. What kind of bills are going to be brewing in that state? What kind of fair housing laws are going on in that county? And so I think no matter where you fit into multifamily and real estate, I do think your national and local chapter has something to help you do your job better.
Thank you. And I was actually going to suggest that we end talking about fair housing laws or fair housing in general. We're filming this at the end of April, and April is Fair Housing Month. And the association has a lot of education and help for fair housing. And I think everyone in the industry benefits from the fair housing laws and in knowing what they are so that you don't get yourself into trouble. So please contact the association if there's more information that you want on fair housing laws. It's really important.
We are here for you. Thank you for having me, Christine.
Thank you for being with us, and I hope to see you soon.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. So we're wrapping up the third episode of our podcast. Thank you, everyone, for your support. It's really been very nice, and I deeply appreciate it. We're going to be filming a podcast every month, and topics during the summer podcasts will include a great team of people from Rochester who have put together a way of financing apartment complexes and getting people involved on both the passive and active ways in apartment investing, as well as a commercial real estate insurance agency who will discuss liability and other needs of insurance for the industry. And I'm hoping to have a banker who did the financing for the deal I talked about earlier today. He's out of New Jersey, and I think he'll be joining us in either July or August. So again, thank you very much. And I'd love to hear about any topics that you'd like to know more about. We'll be happy to have guests on to discuss it. Thank you.